This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma salli ala habibina wa nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam fil awwalin, wa salli lahum wa sallim wa barik ala habibina wa nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam fil akhirin. Allahumma salli ala habibina wa nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam kullama dhakarahu dhakirun ibra wa kullama ghafala dhikril ghafirun. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what we reveal and knows what we conceal and even knows what the animals feel. We thank Him, we praise Him, and on Him we have reliance. It is to Him we only turn to for true guidance. We ask Him to send His peace, His blessings, His mercy on the best of human beings, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on whom be praise until the very end of our days. And we ask Him for steadfastness, guidance, mercy, and to never lead us astray, and for Him to save us on Judgment Day. So welcome everybody, alhamdulillah, to Illuminations, Quranic Reflections from the Haramain. Today's topic, I wanted to actually do a little bit of a longer reflection because of some of the topics that are really heavily involved in this particular part of Surah An-Nisa, the fourth chapter of the Quran. So I wanted to just take my time instead of just trying to rush thoughts or ideas, but to actually develop them, inshallah, something that we can benefit from. So Surah An-Nisa, this portion of Surah An-Nisa, which is again the idea of fulfilling rights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the portion yesterday about the believers, أَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا, fulfill the rights of others to people who are deserving of their rights. أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِاللَّهِ, that if you are going to establish rule, then rule by that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, and with justice. So when you're establishing rights, what is the basis of deciding what you're going to judge by? And that's something I think everybody just needs to really deeply reflect over, that when we're asking and demanding for our rights, the basis for that should be the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Not when it happens to be something for me, then I will use Islam to establish my rights. But when I'm not fulfilling the rights of someone else, then I'm not going to establish Islam, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this exact surah An-Nisa, the chapter of women, that you first of all establish the rights of people and make sure that you fulfill and grant them their rights. And if you're going to rule and establish that right in essence by something, that you should do it with justice according with this example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's number one. And then this concept is further ingrained in the section of the Quran that is recited today in Surah An-Nisa. And that's why I titled it the reflections as Living Islam Truly. Living Islam Truly. What are the conditions of living Islam truly? And I wanted to discuss this, and especially the ayat that were mentioned in particular in tonight's recital. It reflects this concept of what it means to live Islam truly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah 65, which was recited last night, this concept that starts to be expounded upon in tonight's recitation. And that is the ayah in Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 65, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah says, but know by your Lord, they will not truly believe until they make you, meaning O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a judge concerning that which they dispute over among themselves, and then find within themselves no discomfort from what you have judged by, and then submit to it with an absolute full submission. SubhanAllah, what a powerful, beautiful ayah, right? The idea, notion that true belief, living Islam truly, is when we make the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam a judge concerning all of our differences and the basis of what we seek our own rights of. And then not only that, it's not just about, okay, we make the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam a judge, but then we are accepting of that internally and we don't find any discomfort with it. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونُ هَوَاهُ تَبَعًا لِمَا جِئْتُ بِهِ. None of you truly believe, meaning your faith is not complete, until your desires follow that which I have brought. So when we talk about living Islam truly, the concept here is that we accept the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ as the ultimate decision maker and ultimate factor of us accepting something or rejecting something. Did the Prophet Muhammad mention this or to accept it or not? And that's incredibly, incredibly powerful for us to kind of reflect over. So this is the basis of living Islam truly, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of it, and they then submit to themselves absolutely, fully, willingly in true submission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues in ayah number 134, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with regards to those who live Islam truly, among their characteristics is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in ayah number 134 from Surah An-Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا فَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ ثَوَابُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. What a beautiful ayah, really. Like, just reflect on this ayah. Allah says, whoever desires the rewards of this world, then with Allah is the reward of this world and the hereafter. And ever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing and all seeing. Meaning, look, human beings by nature are beings that love reward. They always look at the return of investment in something. What is it that I'm getting out of it? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the believers that oftentimes a human being is sometimes deluded by the material gains of this life. Is deluded, and unfortunately the delusion of chasing those material gains, whether that be relationships or whether that be money, wealth, status, jobs, or whatever it may be, in that element of delusion is what draws them away from accepting aspects of faith. If you ask some people, do you accept Islam? They're like, I accept Islam. And they're like, why aren't you practicing Islam? And they say, well, you know what? I'm not ready. You know what they're actually saying? They're saying, you know what? The pleasures that I'm feeling and I believe in achieving and gaining in whatever I believe to be rewarding in material, you know, process or whatever gain that I think will I'm getting from the lifestyle that I have chosen. And here, key lifestyle meaning deen, like that is essentially what deen means, a lifestyle, a way of life. I believe is more rewarding at this point in my life than the reward that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He promises. Because again, the instant gratification component of our minds thinks that, hey, I have to give up this really enjoyable thing that I'm so engrossed in for something that I don't know if I'm going to have that much enjoyment in or I'm not ready to accept. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever desires that, whoever wants that instant gratification of the reward of this life, the material reward, then know that with Allah is that reward of this world. He will give you the reward of this world if you're chasing that gratification of this world and in the hereafter as well. And that's why I want you all to reflect on something. One of the things that we need to convince people of is that Islam, when you accept it truly, like again, the concept is living Islam truly. When you accept it truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever believes in Him and really truly has conviction in it, فَلَنُوِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, then we will allow them to live a blessed and flourished and fruitful and loving and blessed life, gratified life in this life. فِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَخُمُونَ أَشْهَادٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in this life and on the day when the witnesses will be brought, everyone who used to question you and say, you know what, you're wasting your time, you people and your clothes and your meat selection and all of these different things that are constricting your lifestyle, and you know, you should go out and live more, put your hair out, and all these kind of things that people say, you only live once, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will be brought and they will be made a witness on the day when they were rejecting of the fact that this life is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about fulfillment and gratification in this life and on that hereafter. So subhanAllah, what a beautiful ayah. It's so powerful. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا فَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Whoever desires the rewards and gratifications of this life, then with Allah is the reward and gratifications of this life and the next. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in ayah number 135. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. Check this out. So part of living Islam truly, Allah then goes into the concept of what does it mean to persistently stand for justice? He says, oh, you who believe, be persistently standing firm in justice, witnesses for Allah, even if it is against your own selves, your parents, or your relatives. So not just because your family member is who they are, you just support them. Somebody comes up to you and says, you know, someone has wronged me, and they're coming to you basically to get confirmation bias. They're getting justification. They're going to want you to be on their side. The tribalism that exists to support them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. Oh, you who have believed, be persistently standing firm in justice, witnesses for Allah, even if it's against your own selves. Or your parents, or your relatives, whoever comes to you. And that's why the believer, when somebody comes to them and they say, they tell them, you know, I've been wronged, I've been etc., etc. You're in a position of advice. You're in a position that someone is seeking maybe direction in. So your job is not to just simply take their side. Your job is also not to dismiss them. But your job is to be fair and just. And maybe if they need advice, to word it in a way where they can accept. But not just to simply side with them, say, oh, you know what? Yeah, he is wrong. Or she is wrong, etc. And so on and so forth, just to take their sides. That is not what our faith teaches us. And that's part of living Islam truly, like we mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, إِن يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُوا وَإِن تَلُوا أَوْ تُعْرِضُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whether one is rich or poor, Allah is more worthy of both. It doesn't matter about your status, economic status, and what wealth you have, and who you belong to, and the tribe, and the family. It doesn't matter any of this. Allah awla bihima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more deserving in having an attribution to, as a believer, than all of these other things that people are trying to justify as their form of granting status or position or being put in places ahead of others. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so do not follow your hawa, do not follow your personal inclination, your desires. Living Islam truly is not that faith fits your desires, it's that your desires fit with your faith. That's part of living Islam truly. And I want you to just kind of, that's the most difficult thing in life. Why? Because there's a famous story of one of our teachers. He says that there was a judge, Islamic judge. He said that I want criminals to come in front of me from any background or you know, wherever they come from, except from students of knowledge. I don't want students of knowledge to be criminals that put in front of me. They say, what do you mean? Of course, even people who claim to be students of knowledge, they'll commit crimes. So why not students of knowledge? He says, because everyone that comes up to me and they committed a crime, they will accept that they've committed a crime. They say, you know what? I stole. I did this. I wronged somebody. I took their right. You know, I didn't treat this woman right as my wife, etc. You know, I'll make amends. He says, but the student of knowledge, sometimes they'll come, and if they're committed a crime, they'll give you 1,001 justifications of why they did it. So essentially, they're using their knowledge to justify their oppression. And that's why you can never allow your faith to be led by your desires, but your desires to be with that is in accordance with faith. And hence why this is such a powerful ayah, because the word hawa itself in the Arabic language comes from suqut, comes from falling, and also khulu, which means emptiness. So in essence, if you continuously follow your desires, it will only lead you to emptiness, and it will lead you to falling continuously. And that's why one of the names of hellfire, you know what it is? It's called al-hawiyah, meaning the bottomless pit. One of the punishments in hell is that somebody will be thrown, may Allah protect us. And they will never feel like they're gonna hit. And you know, just the anticipation, you know, you're on a roller coaster, may Allah protect us. You're on a roller coaster in the notion of when you're gonna dip and fall, in that fall when you're at the top, right? And you just keep falling. One of the punishments of hellfire is it's continuous falling until Allah wills. May Allah protect us. So imagine somebody's falling like that into their desires. What is that eventually going to lead them to? Emptiness. Right? And continuously falling. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't follow your desires. And this personal desire of inclination, that will not allow you to become just. And if you distort your testimony, refuse to give it, because of, again, when the truth is on your side, you're there like Quran, Sunnah, you know, Allah said, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said to do this and establish women's rights and establish this. But when unfortunately we're, you know, we're the ones who are doing wrong. Oh, now all of a sudden, no more Quran, no more the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said establishing men and women's rights at the same time. This becomes problematic. Because why? We're then picking and choosing which aspects of our faith it's for us. And you see this all the time in marital discord, husbands using a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to justify their own oppression. You know, the Prophet ﷺ says, you have to obey me. Whatever. The Prophet ﷺ said, didn't act like Fir'aun, and then you have to be obeyed. And unfortunately, you see this as well in parents who think that there's an ayah in the Quran, obey your parents at the expense of your unhappiness. I don't remember that ayah being in the Quran. So they will actually justify their overbearing nature of committing oppression even against their own children. And this is not right. This is not acceptable. But again, of course, dealing with this and that reality requires wisdom and, you know, not, you know, responding to confrontation with more confrontation in that essence. So such a beautiful ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, of course, indeed Allah is ever with all what you do acquainted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, continuing, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ مِن قَبْلِ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. Oh, you have believed, believe in Allah and His Messenger and the book that He sent down to His Messenger and the scripture which He sent down before Him. And whoever disbelieves in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers in the last day has certainly gone astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed those who have believed, then disbelieved, then believed, then disbelieved, and then increased in their disbelief, never will Allah forgive them, nor will He guide them to a straight way. And the idea being is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive any sin, except the one who dies upon disbelief. And Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi, wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive any association of worship to Him, but He will forgive any sin beside that. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then part of living Islam truly is that we are extremely wary of hypocrisy. Ah, hypocrisy of two types. Hypocrisy in faith and hypocrisy in actions. Hypocrisy in faith is when somebody's actually trying to hide their faith. They're actually hypocrites, meaning they don't believe in Islam truly. That's the worst type of hypocrisy, right? And then there's type of hypocrisy which maybe the believer can also fall into. May Allah protect us, because it's hypocrisy in one's actions. And we'll talk about that a little bit, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give glad tidings to the hypocrites that there's a painful punishment. So hypocrisy is something we should be constantly afraid of. And that's why the Sahaba, they even went and they said to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, we became hypocrites. They said, why? He said, when we're with you, we feel like we're in paradise and we're like, we see the hereafter, we act so righteous, but when we go to our families, that we don't have that same feeling. And they said, this is hypocrisy to us. SubhanAllah, look at the one characteristic that they had of living Islam truly is that they were honest and genuine with themselves. They were honest and genuine with themselves. And that's extremely powerful. Because genuineness here is very rare. Being genuine with Allah. I mean, SubhanAllah, look at, we're all suffering in our relationships because we claim that there's no genuine people left in this world, right? So imagine, are we genuine with our own Lord and Creator? Maybe that's where we should start. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns of this, and that's why every single believer should be very conscious of falling into hypocrisy. And I want to discuss two hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which speaks about one of the first things that we as Muslims should focus on in our spirituality. And that is, you want, when in spirituality, Islamic spirituality, you try to watch out for two things. Number one, trying to remove vices in your character. And part of that is like, you know, diseases of the heart. Part of that is bad manners, right? And ego and envy. And we have what's called the roots of spiritual diseases. We've done a course on that for Legacy Institute called Spiritual Medicine, the Roots of Spiritual Diseases. You can go look it up on legacy.institute. That was not the point. The point is to remove vices. And then the second thing that we need to work on spirituality is to build virtues. So removing vices, building virtues. It's called tasfiya and tahliya. Tasfiya is to safa, to purify. So how do you purify? By removing filth in your heart, envy and jealousy and you know, the what's called the roots of spiritual diseases, right? Pride, ego, right? And then you have tahliya, which means to beautify. So you remove, you purify yourself from these horrible vices, and you build then and replace them with virtuous deeds. And that's why the very first thing that a person, when they're talking about purification and spirituality, they should work on removing the vices and replacing them with virtues. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in hadith that's narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من علامات المنافق ثلاثة وإن صام وصلى وزعم أنه مسلم إذا حدث كذب وإذا وعد أخلف وإذا ائتمن خان. The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم says, among the signs of a hypocrite are three. Even if they fast and pray and claim to be a Muslim. Look, this is a powerful hadith. Meaning, look, somebody could be praying and fasting and I'm a Muslim and, you know, crying in Taraweeh and all of this other stuff. But if they don't cleanse themselves from these three characteristics, it doesn't matter. Because then it's hypocrisy in action. And that's what the first thing that we should try to remove from our hearts. This is the first thing you should focus on in spirituality, right? What is it? Number one, when they speak, they lie. When they speak, they lie. And I want you to focus on this just a little bit. How many times do we tell what's called small white lies? Are you coming to the wedding? Yeah, inshallah. You're not coming to the wedding. Just tell them you're not coming. This is a lie. You're not going to the wedding. Just be honest. Are you going to be there at 9? And you say, yeah, inshallah. You're not going to be there on time. So lying here is very important, that you don't consider things like white lies, big lies, small lies, but stop lying. No lying. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person will tell lies until they're written in the books of Allah that this person's a liar. And the person will keep telling truth until they're written in the books of Allah that this person is truthful. And that's why Abu Bakr gets his name from as As-Siddiq, because he was truthful. He was truthful. And there's obviously, of course, exceptions when one can tell what's considered false truths. And part of that is to reconcile among people. Reconcile, for example, between husband and wife, between people who are fighting with each other. Say, hey, you know, they said some amazing things about you the other day. And they probably hadn't. They probably said something general about Muslims. So what you're doing is bringing them together, bringing the hearts together. In this case, it's okay. There's also cases like, for example, the Prophet ﷺ says that harbu khada, that in war, war is deception. So there's an element of deception that can be used in issues of war. But we're not talking about exceptions, because I know what people do. Their exceptions go to their mind. Oh, what about this? What about this? No, exceptions don't make the rule, Habibi. And also, exceptional cases don't make the general case, right? So let's just, we're taking that. Number two, so number one, the Prophet ﷺ said among the signs of hypocrisy is three, or hypocrite are three, even if they fast and pray and claim to be a Muslim. When they speak, they lie, number one. Number two, when they give a promise, they break it. Are you going to be there or not? Yes, and they're not going to be there, right? Are you going to pay me at this time? These kind of things are more important sometimes. And that's why I want you to imagine, like, when you make a promise to pay somebody back, the very least, if you're not going to pay them on time, just let them know. Tell them, hey, you know what? I can't pay you right now. And you got to accept the consequences. I'm telling you about money because Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that you realize the true faith of a believer in the following instances. When you travel with them, because when you travel, you know what? All that, you know, performance, face that we put up for people, that starts to go away a little bit. Because when you're traveling, your true reality, your true face comes out. And that's why they said as-safaru yusfir. It's called safar from the same word that means to expose, to show. And number two, when you do business with them, money shows you the true faces of people. La ilaha illallah. You will see things you never ever thought when you see and you deal with people in money. And that's why the Prophet says, when he says, when he gives a promise and breaks it, you will see most of it dealing with wealth, right? And then, of course, when you live with somebody is the third that Umar radiallahu ta'ala said. When you live with somebody, of course, everything then is shown when you live with them. That's why you don't truly know somebody until you live with them, right? And that's why the Prophet Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who in another narration, he said something beautiful. He says, I am not misled by the prayer of a man, how he prays, but how he is trustworthy in what he says and fulfills it. How often do we think about this? When, you know, I was thinking about this on the way and walking here, how many people there, when you have a daughter, may Allah grant us righteous daughters and be righteous daughters, inshallah, for those of you who are women. The most difficult thing is when you have the most ideal suitor come to you. What's the ideal suitor in our community? Some kid who's going to be a doctor, an engineer, he's got money, right? He hit some crypto, mashallah, Bitcoin was going well, and this guy's like rolling in it, Allahu Akbar. Now he's proposing to this woman. And what happens is, there's so much pressure from the family sometimes. There's so much outward pressure. You gotta marry, look, he's this, and he's a Hafiz Saab, and he's that, and he's this, and blah, blah, blah. And just the outward appearances and superficial nature was being pressured on some women to marry according to those people. And what happens is sometimes there's internal diseases that they're not, that's not very, you know, apparent. And we don't actually sit there and give people time to get to know one another, to allow, you know, that cohibition of spending time with one, talking, etc., to show the true character of people. So I said, you know what? May Allah make us of those that allow, you know, us to guide and be strengths for our daughters and our women folk to find the right people, not because of the superficial titles that people think that, you know, you got to marry a doctor, you got to marry an engineer. I'm not saying that doctors and engineers are bad people. I'm just saying that's not the only factor. In fact, that's not even the top 10 factors of why a person should marry another individual. So the notion here is that a person becomes a person of integrity when you live Islam truly. And then the third characteristic, when they're trusted, they betray. When they're trusted, they betray their trust. So these three things a person should focus on the most to try to rid themselves of. When they speak, they lie. When they give a promise, they break it. And then when they're trusted, they betray their trust. They should try to remove this from their heart immediately. This is among the first things of spirituality. The spiritual journey starts with removing these three things as much as possible, in the small and the big. Because if you're going to focus on not doing this in the small things, then it will definitely affect you in the larger things. And in another hadith, of course, the Prophet ﷺ says, there are four signs that make someone appear hypocrite, and whoever has them has a characteristic of hypocrisy until they abandon it. When they speak, they lie. When they make a covenant, they are treacherous. When they make a promise, they break it. And when they argue, they are wicked. And not only wicked, وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرُ. They're rude, they're crude. You know when somebody, when you get an argument with them, Allahu Akbar, they'll start anything that comes out of their mouth. That's like, don't even cross their path. People's mothers and fathers and tribe, and they don't leave anybody, you know, when they start getting into an argument. And this is not the attitude of a believer in living Islam truly. That a person, they control and guard their anger. And it's not like, oh, you know, when I lose my temper, my patience, I'm a different person. That doesn't matter. That's something you got to change. That's among the first things in terms of spiritual journey. You gotta control this. Not just simply be triggered somebody has a different opinion than you. That's a very deeply rooted problem to have. Somebody just disagrees with you and you're mad. Like, you know what? The place that, you know, unfortunately, like, is a place that gathers all this is like Twitter, where everybody's just, they argue about everything. There's a famous meme that says, even if you were to say, I like pancakes, somebody say, what about waffles? Like, bro, that's a whole different sentence. What do you mean, what about waffles, right? So imagine people, unfortunately, have built this kind of character where there's no ability to amicably disagree. You're just triggered constantly by people disagreeing with you. This is a very bad characteristic. So may Allah make us of those that when we disagree with people, we disagree with honor. We disagree with amicable, hey, you know what? I see your point. Number one, acknowledgement. Number two, acceptance. And then if you disagree, even if it's not unacceptable, you word it in a way that is with integrity and with dignity. And that's why Gottman, they speak about using I statements, especially in relationships. I feel X because you said Y or you did Y, and therefore I need you to do Z. It's called I statements, right? So that will help us greatly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, spoke to us about removing this level of hypocrisy, and he continues by saying how dangerous it is in this surah about mentioning those characteristics of hypocrisy. And part of living Islam truly is to focus for us not to fall into those elements. And that's why Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu was described as the keeper of the secrets of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was so trustworthy. He says, إِنَّ النَّاسَ يَسْأَلُونَ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ وَأَنَا أَسْأَلُ عَنِ الشَّرِ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي أو كما قال. He says, people ask about all good things. How do I get this? What's the thing in Jannah that I can get that with? Or what are the best things I can, how can my du'as be answered, etc., so on and so forth. Hudhayfa said, I was actually asked about things that are bad and evil. Like, you know, how do I stay away from hypocrisy? What are the preventers of my du'a being rejected? He says, why? I asked about those evil things that so I don't fall into them. SubhanAllah, look at the mindset of the Sahaba. They were not worried about like their own indignation and like, you know, entitlement, but they were worried about, hey, what are some things I do that I need to fix, that I need to rectify so that I don't fall into them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 145 in Surah An-Nisa, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَن تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا. Indeed, the hypocrites will be in the lowest depths of the fire, and never will you find for them a helper. إلا الذين تابوا وأصلحوا واعتصموا بالله وأخلصوا دينهم لله فأولئك مع المؤمنين وسوف يؤتي الله المؤمنين أجرا عظيما. Look at this beautiful ayah. Wallah, look at this. The Quran, it's like, I don't know, it's like pouring water into your heart of dead earth. Allah says, except even those who committed hypocrisy, even those who committed the wrong against themselves. Who doesn't commit wrong against themselves? Who hasn't done one of these four characteristics that the Prophet ﷺ said of hypocrisy in action? I mean, we're all human beings. We've done things that are wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, you feel bad about it. You've done these things. Except for those who, they do what? Tawbah, number one. They repent. They turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's door is always open. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, number two, وَأَصْلَحُوا. And they rectified themselves. Tabu وَأَصْلَحُوا. They turn back to Allah, because tawbah, repentance comes from the word turning back to Allah. Repentance sometimes a very deep English word, but the word in Arabic is turning back, going back to Allah, subhanAllah. Right? Those who turn back to Allah and those who rectify themselves. And then what do they do? وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ. They hold fast to Allah, subhanAllah. They hold on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it says, وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ. And this is where like the pinnacle of our reflection is it reaches its height. What do? They are sincere in their way of life truly for Allah. Living truly for Allah. Living Islam truly. وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ. Allahu Akbar. May Allah make us of those people that reach this level where they live sincerely in their lifestyle, their way of life for Allah. وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ. This portion of the ayah just keeps replaying in my head, because we're all trying to reach this level, right? And how many times do we falter? How many times do we become deluded by the gratifications of this world? How many times are we swerved from that reality? We ask Allah to grant us وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ, right? Those who purify and they make sincere their deen, their way of life, their lifestyle only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says they are those who will be with the believers. And Allah says وَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِي اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمًا. And Allah is soon going to give the believers a great reward. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the next ayah, which is like, you want a cherry on top of all of this. Allah's going to make them among the believers. Allah's going to take care of them. Allah's going to reward them. Allah's going to give them the gratification, fulfillment of this life. Look at the next ayah. You got to be ready for the next ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 147, Surah An-Nisa, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. What would Allah do with you and your punishment? What would Allah benefit from your punishment? Allah doesn't benefit from punishing you if you were simply just grateful and you believed. What would Allah do with your punishment if you simply just were grateful and believed? It's such a beautiful, powerful ayah. Meaning, Allah is not here to punish us. Allah is not here as a Lord that is spiteful, a Lord that is angry, which unfortunately many Muslims, unfortunately, when they were introduced to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're introduced with the fact and notion that Allah is angry, the fact that He's vengeful, that there's resentment, they're not introduced with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way Allah introduces himself. Do you know how Allah introduces himself in the Quran? What's the first ayah in the Quran? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the giver of mercy. That's how Allah wants to be introduced as. If you want to talk about first impressions, right? You have certain first impressions of certain people. Sometimes you don't get a good first impression of people. They're just, you know, like, man, I really don't want to be near them. What's the first impression we have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Many Muslims, their first impression of Allah is resentment, is anger, is a vengeful Lord. Allah says the first impression we should have is Allah is merciful. And He's giver of all that vast mercy, special mercy to the believers. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ma yafalu Allahu bi'adhabikum. What will Allah do with your punishment? How could Allah benefit from your punishment in any way? In shakartum wa amantum. If you just simply were, look at the first word. If you were just simply grateful, and then you believed. Which goes back to one of the things we talked about already. The foundation of faith is gratefulness. And what is the most ungrateful thing that we can do as believers? That we know the truth, we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to, and we use His blessings in other than what He asked us to use them. That's the height of ungratefulness. And the height of gratefulness is to use the blessings of Allah the way He wanted us to use. So it's not just grateful as in saying Alhamdulillah, thanking Allah. But gratefulness is what you use, what Allah gave you in showing your gratefulness. Isn't that true in your relationships? You're like, oh, I'm appreciative. I'm an appreciative person. You know, I say thank you all the time, right? Gratefulness and appreciation isn't simply only by word of mouth. Like you thank your wife every time she makes you food. That's the bare minimum, Habibi. You're not thanking your wife. You got a problem. You use Jazakallah Khair. The Prophet says that the height of thankfulness is saying Jazakallah Khair. May Allah reward you. I mean, some people don't even do that. Let's just, you know, let's correct that first. Every time somebody does something for you, opens the door or gives you something or thinks about you or sends you a message, just say Jazakallah Khair. Thank you, I really appreciate it. Be appreciative with your mouth. That's the first level. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about, what if you don't show appreciation with your actions and they say you're not appreciative? I don't sense that you're an appreciative person to me. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala senses that from us? And Allah says, just be appreciative and believe. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. But rather Allah is shakir, is the most appreciative, and alim, the most knowledgeable, knowing. How can Allah be appreciative to us? Because this Imam al-Ghazali says, the name of Allah, when ash-shakir or ash-shakur, refers to the one that will exponentially reward you for the little things that you do. Exponentially. You will be rewarded for the little things that you do. And Alim, He's all aware of our actions and our intentions. He's all knowing. But He still rewards more than we deserve. Ya Rabbil Alameen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues the ayat of what it means to live Islam truly. What it means to live Islam the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the very first ayah that I shared with you all. فَلَا وَرَبُّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. And know by your Lord, they will not have truly believed until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their judge, their basis for asking for their rights. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did the Prophet say? Concerning their disputes amongst themselves. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا. And then they don't find anything even in their hearts of discomfort with what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said for us to do. And he says, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And that they submit themselves fully in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. With that, inshallah, we end this session of illuminations, Quranic reflections from the Haramain on the topic of living Islam truly. May Allah azawajal make us of those who live Islam truly and allow us to turn our lives and our lifestyles and our worldview to that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to rectify our vices from elements of hypocrisy or elements of shortcomings or deficiencies to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, so that we are blessed with a life of gratification and gratitude in this world and in the hereafter, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of all of blessings that we can possibly have. Jazakum khair. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala habibina wa nabiyina Muhammad wa ala sahbihi ajma'in. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the highest levels of Jannah. وَأَخْرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلِّمُ وَبَارِكَ عَلَى حَبِيبِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, for illuminations, Quranic reflections from the Harbin, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.